That psalm gives us a clear idea of all that the Lord is to us. Surely, He is a great shepherd, and He's good shepherd. We talk sometimes about the goodness of God, and surely there are so many things that God has done in His goodness. The psalmist could, or Nahum could speak of His goodness and say, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in Him." He's given us a hiding place in Him. Paul, in writing of the goodness of God in Romans 2, speaks of His goodness that brought us to repentance and taught us to believe. Indeed, we have to say the Lord is good. We've been viewing Him as Lord, and last evening we viewed for a little while the God of supply, the God who provides. And we learned that Abraham called Him the Jehovah Jireh. You know, some years ago as a younger man, I was struck one time as I picked up the Choice Gleaning calendar, and I saw the compound titles of Jehovah, and then the brother who had written this page, don't recall who it was, had applied all of those compound titles to the 23rd Psalm. That in that Psalm, you can see something of the Lord in His compound titles. Surely in the Jehovah Jireh, He's the Lord who provides the table. In the Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord that healeth thee, He's the restorer of our soul. In the Jehovah Nissi, that is the Lord our banner. He's the one who goes before. And I rather like that when we think especially of His banner over us being love. We see what He does. We have the sense of His presence with us in the Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there. We have the sense of His righteousness that Jeremiah gives us in the Jehovah Tsedkenu, the one who leads us in the path of righteousness, the one who brings us to those quiet places, as the book of Judges brings us to the Jehovah Shalom in Judges 6, where Gideon builds that altar to the Lord. And so if you just look at those titles, and they're all in that psalm, it gives us an idea, an expanded view of who the Lord is. He's the restorer of our soul. I'd like you to go with me this evening to Matthew's Gospel. First of all, Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you, and then we're going to take a look at the Lord this evening in the sense of the one who is the healer. Matthew 8:1, "And when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Verse 5, "And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to Him a centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, He marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, in Israel." Now, the other evening when we first began, I believe Christmas Eve, we thought for a little while, or the next day, we thought for a little while about those who sought the Lord. And we saw Him in the titles that the angels announced Him, and the Magi came looking for Him. And we heard the angels say, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then we saw that there were some came seeking Him, magi, wise men. They came to worship Him. And as we view the life of the Lord along his path, there were many that sought him. We see here that a leper sought him. And I think one day in my own experience, when as a leper in the sense of a disease of the soul, God sought me to seek him. I can remember as a young lad, sitting about halfway back and listening to the preacher preach and fear coming over my own soul because of the sense of a burning and of a judgment for sin. And yet each night answering to a voice that said, just take it easy, Ray. Wait a little while. You'll get outside. Everything will be all right. And for a week I answered that voice without really realizing who that voice was and how it wanted me to turn from the path of responding to the moving of the Spirit of God within my heart. Yet at the end of the week, that man began to talk about the Lord. He began to talk about the Lord. He began to talk about a God who had such a love for me that he was willing to manifest it on the cross of Calvary. That night, my heart was humbled before him. Not by the fear of judgment, by the love of a God who loved the lad. See, I believe judgment must be preached. Please don't understand it or misunderstand it. We need to warn to flee from the wrath to come. But I believe there are times that we need to center our thoughts on him, the one who is able, the one who not only saves, but the one who sustains. And when we see a giving God as the Jehovah Jireh, we see one who is provided of the lamb that we looked at the other evening. But when we come to see the Lord who's the healer, he is the one who sustains us and carries us along the way. He's the one who can bring peace to our soul. He's the one, when we get a chance to view the cross, can calm the troubled waters and bring to our heart that quiet spirit that we need. He's the restorer of men's soul. These men sought him. Like that leper, that one who came, he said, Lord, thou canst make me whole. I don't know all the hearts in this audience tonight, but basically at heart, I'm an evangelist. And so I'm saying that in an audience this size, there's a good probability that at least one has never had a soul restored. And in case there is that one here tonight, I would like to suggest to you, there is a need in your life. It's the need of a Savior who came to seek and to save that which is lost. It's the need of a recognition that you are lost and you are headed for hell. That your soul does need healing, but he's the healer. And if you are willing tonight simply to do as this leper did, say to him, Lord, thou canst make me clean. He'll make you clean every way. He can make you clean because he is Lord. We sang a song. You know, it's wonderful the way the Spirit of God moves sometimes. Our brother was singing the previous little chorus and I thought, oh boy, it'd be so good if we sang. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. And what did he give out but that little chorus? There's the gospel. There's the gospel. He is Lord, not alone because he died, but because he's risen again. And he is now exalted. He's been given a name that's above every name. He is not alone King of Kings as we saw the other night, but he is Lord of Lords. And you know what? He is the one who died to redeem your soul. He's the one who can heal your soul. And he can heal it tonight. If you're willing to say simply, as that leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He followed the path here in the New Testament of healing so many. And because he did, we have often heard people say, well, it's not God's desire that anyone would be sick. And by the very fact that there is a healer, we would have to say, well, who needs healing? Why is it that there is sickness and affliction into the world? That's a good question, isn't it? Why is it here? We can basically say that all sickness has come into the world because of sin when it came into the world. But that does not necessarily mean that every person who's sick is sick because of his own sin. We must understand that. For instance, John's Gospel, chapter 9. There's a blind man there, isn't he? And he's sitting there, and as they walk by, they say, why is he blind? Why was he born blind? Was it because of his parents' sin or his sin? And the Lord Jesus said, neither one. He was born blind that the works of God might be manifest in him. Number one, there is the possibility of being sick and having sickness that God's working might be manifest in your life. God is interested in showing His glory through us. That is one reason why He chose us. That is one goal in our life, to glorify God. Have you ever seen God glorified through the sickness of an individual? I have. I can remember so many, but I'll state one. I remember a young woman, barely in her 20s, where her whole body was just pulled up into a little tight knot, and her hands deformed, and her arms deformed from arthritis. And any time anyone went to visit that young woman, they heard from her praises to the eternal God, that the work of God might be manifest. There's a dear sister back home, 67 years old, got cancer, came fast. She felt a numbness in the arm, began to lose it. It took her to the doctor, ran her through the test, found a tumor here and one here. So they began to treat it, and then she had pain. They went further. They found another tumor here. They began to treat that one. And she got pain in her hip. They went further, found another tumor there. A matter of a week, and found another tumor on her spine. And you know, as that dear sister was in the hospital, all she had to say was praises toward her God. And she called the nurses that came to minister to her angels of mercy. And those nurses couldn't understand how a woman that was hit with all of these things, one right after the other, could turn and lift her heart and praise God. There is a healer, one who restores the soul, even though the body might be in affliction. And so, number one, all sickness does not come because of sin. It could come because of the chastening of God. Hebrews chapter 12 says that He chastens every son He receives. Now, if we do not receive chastening, then He says we're illegitimate and not true sons at all. When you got sick or afflicted or something happened, you lost your job, was the first thing you sat down and cried, why? And did He answer? Did you hear Him say back to you, just because I loved you? Have you ever thought of that? I remember a young man said to me one time, he had a stroke. He was 50, I guess he was. And I stood by that bedside, and I opened the Word of God, and I began to read of Him, of God's love for him. And he said to me, well, if He loves me, He's got a funny way of showing it. And I said, look, friend, because you're sick is no reflection on the love of God. God proved His love at Calvary. He never has to prove it again. Don't ever make a statement like that, beloved. Don't ever make a statement like that. God proved His love. He does not have to prove it anymore. God loves us. We take that as a plain, simple statement of faith, no matter what comes. He loves me. And when He chastens, and He may well chasten, oh, the question has come into my mind sometimes, why? I remember going the second time under the Golden Gate Bridge. I'd been overseas for 2.5 years. And I had been transferred out of the jungle as physically unfit for further combat duty. They sent me to Australia. I got sick of all the replacement centers there, and they came up with a point system where I could go home on temporary duty, but I'd have to come back in 30 days. Well, my reasoning was, because of transferring me out because of sickness, if I got home, they'd never send me back. I was wrong. And 30 days after I was home, or they gave me 15 more, 45 days later, I was going out under that Golden Gate Bridge. And while I had been home, my stepfather died. He was the only father I ever knew. It left my mother alone, and I had been married. The young lady who sits over there tonight waited 3 years for me to come back and marry her. We got married in that 30 or 45 days. I lost my stepfather in that time, and I remember that last night heading out of Chicago on the train toward the West Coast, and then getting on board ship, and those ground swells hit that ship, and you know how green you turn sometimes? I was green. I was seasick, and I was homesick, and I was lovesick, and I'm saying why. And he came back and said, just 'cause I love you. Just 'cause I love you. You know, he is a God of love. And when he brought us to himself, he gave us a privilege of being sons, children of God, true sons, sons that are going to be taught in the way. That's what chastening is for. It's a teaching process. Oh, I hope my brethren here who represent or overseerships in some of the assemblies throughout of God's people will never take discipline in any other light than that. A teaching process. Paul said he delivered Hymenaeus and Alexander up to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Too many times I'm afraid we've got discipline with a penal attitude. God's not got the attitude of that at all. Well, it might be penal to the person who receives it, but our purpose in doing it is restoration, that they may learn. Bless your heart. I hope that's the way it's applied. God teaches us in the way that we may learn. He's got a reason for it. You know, all sickness does not come because of sin. Sometimes it's for God's glory. You remember when Lazarus was sick, and they sent and told the Lord, Lord, come. Lazarus is sick. And the Lord didn't run. He doesn't respond just like that. He's got purposes and counsels to fulfill. And so he didn't turn and run. He stayed there for a while. And then he said, come, let's go. Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, that's good, Lord. If he's sleeping and he's sick, that'll strengthen him in the way. He had to say Lazarus was dead. And so he went there. Oh, there was the cry from the heart. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. But he wanted to show him who the resurrection and the life truly was. So he goes to the tomb and he said, roll away the stone. He called Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came zooming out of that tomb. I'd like to suggest to you, there's the first jet ride. I don't believe for a moment that they went in and carried him out. Said Lazarus came out, and the Lord said, loose him and let him go. He was bound hand and foot as a mummy with those clothes. I cannot imagine him walking out like that. The Lord called him out, and he came out under the power of the voice of God. And you know what, beloved? Even though sickness might bring me to death, and they put me under the ground, one day he's going to say to the grave, loose him and let him go. And the grave will not hold. He is to be glorified. He was glorified that day. Oh, what we'd have missed if he'd have spoken a word and healed Lazarus. What we'd have missed. We'd have missed standing and seeing a heart touched as he wept for those down the line that death would have a claim on. What we'd have missed when he spoke the word and Lazarus came out in resurrection And then he said, loose him and let him go. And he walked in life. All sickness is not because of sin. Sometimes it's for chastening. Sometimes it's to draw us near to him. God's desire is to bring us nigh. And you know, if we get in a busy world and we go so busy, sometimes he lays us down to make us look up. And so sickness comes that he might draw us to himself. That's blessed, you know. I remember one time laying with a fever of malaria, very sick. And with that fever, I wind up getting dysentery and then dengue fever. And I was down to pure skin and bones. And I woke up one night with this total body asleep, a tingling feeling, except right there. And the mind says, start things moving and trying to wiggle my toes and fingers and hands. I felt I was that close to death. But yet I felt this sense of the presence of the Lord and knew that he was speaking to draw me to him, to cause me to be near, to see him afresh. He does it to get our attention. Yet there may well be sickness because of sin. Remember the man in John's Gospel, chapter 5? He's the man that's been there on the porches, and he's tried to get into the water when it was troubled. And there was no man to help him. All he could see was the help of men. He didn't see the Lord, and the Lord comes along. And he touches him, he heals him. What did the Lord say? Go and sin no more. That man's sickness was there because of sin. And the Lord said to him, now, you sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. I'm going to take this a step further. Sometimes I believe sickness comes that God will turn us to be worshipers in a truer sense. In order to show this to you, I want to back away to the Old Testament. I want you to go with me, if you will, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. That is where this title is given to the Lord as the healer. Now, I'm going to have to build a little background. Remember in chapter 4 of the book of Exodus, Moses has been in the back parts of the desert, and he stops and he sees a bush in chapter 3 that's burning but is not consumed. And I'm going to just in passing suggest to you that's a lovely picture of Jesus Christ. Okay? How was it a picture? There was a bush that was consumable, but yet the fire never consumed the bush. When Jesus Christ came to the scene, he was man, and perfect holiness was put within that man, and it did not consume it. The Lord Jesus stood as the Holy One. Remember when he was born? Before he was born, the angel said, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He's the bush. And the psalmist calls him, he's the God that dwelleth in the bush. That's what he was. And if you read that, it was the angel of the Lord who spoke from that bush. Who is the angel of the Lord? That was the Old Testament theophany of Jesus Christ. That's who it was. It was a manifestation of the Lord Jesus. And there he spoke from that bush. Fire bespeaks holiness. And yet that bush was not consumed. And we see the Lord Jesus as he walked here, truly the Holy One. The demons, even in Mark chapter 2, as the Lord began to go forth on his ministry. And as Matthew and Luke gave it to, they called him the Holy One of God. The demons knew who he was. You know what? When he walked on this scene and he went about, the officers went to take him to bring him back so he could deliver him to the Pharisees. And they came back empty-handed and he said, where is he? He said, never man spake like this man. They saw the holiness manifest in his words. But then again, when he was nailed to that cross and when he's nailed there, the centurion that stands below said, truly, this was a righteous man. And again, another gospel writer, truly, this was the Son of God. Absolute holiness. Moses saw that in figure as he was there and the bush burned. But now in chapter 4, he says, I want you to go back, Moses, I want you to go back to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may go 3 days' journey in a wilderness and sacrifice to me. And almost every chapter from then on to, I think it's chapter 10, he speaks almost the same words, that they may serve me. God's desire was to bring out a people now, out of the persecution, out of the bondage, out of the slavery, that they may be worshipers to him. He said, I want you 3 days' journey in the wilderness. Pharaoh, he had all kinds of reasons why they couldn't go. Then finally, well, you can go, but not your children. And then you can go, but not your cattle. No, sir. They were to all go. And just before they take them away, there's a memorial he gives them, the Passover feast. And in that memorial, he showed them what he would like of them. Oh, there was first of all the blood that was applied on the doorpost and the lintel. There is never going to be a worshiper without the blood applied. You cannot be a worshiper of the Lamb unless the blood is applied. I remember a lady who got acquainted with some years ago. The Lord seemed to bring her across our path somehow or other. And she had been a former sister in the Roman Catholic Church. She was a superior. Can't think of what they call them right now. But anyhow, I began to witness to her and talk to her of the value of the blood. You know, that church does recognize the blood of Christ. And so I thought, there's a good thing to emphasize. So I begin to emphasize the blood of Christ. And she said to me, well, you know, I'm a doctor. And she said, that's kind of messy. It sounds like gory and something to clean up. She said, I really like the thought of that at all. I said, ma'am, you remember the story of the Passover? She said, yes, I do. I said, could you tell me about it? Oh, sure, they killed the lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And I said, what would have happened to them if they went out that night and were not under the blood? She said, they would have died. I said, so will you, unless you've got a higher view of the value of the blood of Christ. Israel saw the blood, was on the doorpost and the lintel, and they were safe inside. But then there was a memorial feast. You know, I like that. A worshiper is really feasting. Oh, he's giving. You know, that's what worship is. It's giving. I hear so many people say about a morning meeting sometimes or evening supper, whenever you do it. Okay? But I hear some people say, well, I don't get anything out of that meeting. Listen, I got news for you. That's not a meeting you come to get something. That's a meeting you come to give. But God is no man's debtor, and I have never, ever sat around that table but what my heart was not blessed with far more than I ever gave. He is a giver. But you know what? There was feasting. How? He said that they were to eat the lamb. And then he told them the head, the legs, and the pertinence thereof. It says they were feasting, and we know that Christ is our Passover because Paul said so. You want anything better than that? I don't know how you beat it. It's through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. You don't need anything more. Christ was our Passover. He said, feed on him. Feed on what? His head. Oh, we've been talking about Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who he is. He's Lord. We need to feast on that. And when we come to remember him, we need to account to him his worth, his value. He is Lord. We need to feast on his head. We need to see his walk. Oh, we need to know where he came from and who he is as the head of the church. But we need to see his walk because that took him to Calvary. And that's where the work was manifest. His head and his legs. But we need to feed on the pertinence thereof. The inward graces of our Lord Jesus. You do that, beloved? He's a healer. And because he healed the soul of mine, he's taught me the value of worship. He took Israel this path. Now he takes them out in the wilderness. He said, there's where I want you to sacrifice and serve. 3 days' journey. When a 3 days journey was reached, where were they, beloved? Anybody? Where were they? Place called Mara. Isn't that amazing? Bitter. Bitter waters. But Lord, that's your will. You said come out here, and now we get here, and what do we got but bitter waters we can't even drink? Have you ever said that to the Lord? Have you ever said, Lord, I followed your path, and look where it's got me. And when you got there, and you took the path, did you ever see the tree? You see, the Lord said to Moses, there's a tree, cut it down, cast it into the waters. And the waters were made sweet. And when Moses obeyed the Lord, then the children of Israel were blessed. But God, in bringing them to the place of worship for Him, in a true service of worship, He brought them through bitter waters. Have you ever seen that, beloved? We can well have affliction in the will of God. I hear people saying, oh, God doesn't want you to be sick and He wants us all healed. I do not see that in the Word of God. I see the Apostle Paul, who had that affliction, and 3 times he said, Lord, take this thing away from me. And the Lord says, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to give you something better. I'll give you my grace. Oh, sometimes He leaves that thorn that His grace might be that much more abounding to us. My grace sufficient for thee. A sufficiency of grace. Now I know when I see as many gray heads as I see out in front of me, I know that perhaps there are some here with literal thorns. And I know some without literal thorns, but are thorns in the flesh. We can take those things in several different ways. We can, number one, be anxious. And we can be filled with worry and concern of what tomorrow brings. But if we do, we have gone against the will of God. He says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall mount up and guard, shall garrison, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I really believe, beloved, fear is satanic. And when I read what God says, He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. If fear comes, we need to go to Philippians 4:6. And we need to take that verse and say, God, this is what you have said to me. Lord, I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to believe what you said. I'm going to rest in your promise. See, He's the Lord that healeth thee. And there is the healing of the soul. Look at Israel. While they were out there in the wilderness, and they went beyond Mara and Elam, and they came to the place of the lack of faith and wandered those years before it. The psalmist says that when they hungered and they thirsted, he said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, hungering and thirsting, their souls fainted in them. But he says in that psalm as well, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them out of all their distress, all their affliction. You know what? Our God, our Lord, is a Lord that could say, in all their affliction He was afflicted, but the angel of His presence saved them. The angel of His presence saved them. God's desire is to bring us to that place of worship, and it might take us through Mara. Doesn't have to, but in the will of God it may take us to Mara. And when the waters there are so bitter for us, and we see and taste the bitterness of it, then we need to turn to the cross of Christ. And we need to see how the waters are sweetened to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Listen to this little poem over at our sister's house the other night. We had this little slice of bread, and I liked this, so she said, you can have it. Whate'er the care that breaks thy rest, whate'er the wish that swells thy breast, spread before God that wish, that care, and change anxiety to prayer. Change anxiety to prayer. I think this is the place that we come to recognize his right as Lord to reign in our life. Even though it takes us along that path that seems so difficult, he's the Lord that healeth thee. He's the restorer of the shepherd's psalm. He restoreth my soul. Have you ever looked at that 42nd psalm and heard the anxiety? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? That's an anxious soul. That is anxiety creeping in. But then there's the soul in faith that answers his own questions. And he says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health and the help of his countenance. See? The question may well come, why? But the answer must be there. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. He's the Lord that healeth thee. He's the Lord that one day is going to take us and deliver us out completely out of all our affliction. I look forward to that day. I look forward to that day when I shall be with him and like him forever, conform to the image of his Son. Lovely Lord, perfect God, what an incarnation, God manifest in the flesh, the God that dwells in the bush, Jesus Christ incarnate, the one who could say, I will be thou pleased. So we pray. Our Father, we do thank thee this evening for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, again. We bless thee, Father, for that day when God became flesh. And we could read, even as we look into the Gospel of John, and hear the Spirit say, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. A wonderful Father. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. We bless thee for it. We pray, Father, that you've comforted and encouraged some and built up others tonight. Again, we pray for souls, that you will reach those that need healing. Touch them. I will. Be thou clean. May they hear those words in their own soul tonight. For we ask it for your glory and in the blessed name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.